for Vox Pop, the show that travels America to bring you the voice of the people. Thanks to the makers of Tonight, Bromo Seltzer's Vox Pop train travels to Hollywood to touch off Paramount Pictures' third of a century anniversary from Earl Carroll Theater. In Hollywood are your two Vox Poppers, Bart Johnson and Warren Hull, with lovely Diana Lynn. And in Chicago, where he's been delayed on his return home from a 10-week tour entertaining servicemen in the European theater, one of the brightest stars.
Yes, sir, this is Paul Bromo Johnson.
And Warren Seltzer Hull.
Happy celebration, Pop Hope.
There's a nice half-hour show right there.
Telling you listeners who've heard all about the new bomb that gave us such a break that there's nothing like Bromo Seltzer for atomic ache. That nice atomic cake. But that atomic bomb is really something, though. Just think of all that power tied up in one little bit of barium. Isn't that wonderful, huh? Why, a man with a Piper cup and our large-sized tube could lick the world. Now my sponsor's happy, if you don't mind. Well, I'm here in Chicago tonight en route home from Germany. En route, that's an airplane expression, meaning put them off. There's a Pekingese here with a priority. I didn't have any trouble getting on the plane. Of course, the more important passengers rode inside. And I'm leaving tomorrow for Hollywood on the Santa Fe Squaw. I wanted to go on the Chief, but since Actions of Topeka got on the hit parade, they won't book you unless you're a baritone. I got a great audience here. But I like Chicago. It's never let me down. Of course, someday the wind may stop blowing. I'm getting him here, fellas. No kidding, Chicago. Thank you. I'm getting him there, too. No kidding, Chicago is so windy, the electric fans inhale here. Yes, sir. Where am I? But you know, General de Gaulle is in town now. I met him when I was in Paris last week, and now he's here in Chicago. Isn't it amazing how far a man will travel just to collect the postcards, isn't it? But he's a very nice fellow. I ran into General de Gaulle this afternoon in the lobby of my hotel, and we talked. I said hello, and he said, "Who's that?" Also, while I was in Paris, I ran into Betty Hutton, the blonde pogo stick. She's over there releasing a geek for active duty. But it's a great thrill. It's a great thrill, really, to help Paramount celebrate 33 years of turning out such great pictures as Bob Hope and The Road to Morocco, Bob Hope and The Road to Singapore, and Barry Fitzgerald and Going My Way. Of course, they have another little fat, round man out there who sings. Sort of a cheesy style. Let's see, his name is Bung Crumsey, I think. You may have heard of him. He was the Sinatra of the Bell Bottom days. He's doing pretty good. Right now he's singing background music for the Andrew Sisters. I wonder how old Fatso is doing since I've been away. He's wonderful. He's so musical. It's marvelous the way his stomach keeps taking that sentimental journey away from the rest of his body. But you know, I get very sentimental myself when I talk about Paramount. I've been there about 8 years myself. When I first started in the Paramount, I was a big hit. But lately, the producer's slaps on the back have been getting lower and lower. But I'd like to say I'm having a wonderful time in one of my favorite towns here in Chicago. I'm stopping at a lovely hotel. You've heard of the Blackstone. I'm stopping at Gravel Gertie. But I want to tell you, we had a lovely trip across the Atlantic, ladies and gentlemen, coming from Paris in a C-54. Of course, it was a little foggy coming in, but I wasn't worried. When we got over New York, I just went up and said to the pilot, "Put her down anywhere. Don't worry about a thing." And the pilot turned and smiled calmly at me and said,
"What's the matter, you crazy or something?"
How Professor Colonna. Isn't that wonderful, Professor? So you flew my plane across the ocean?
Yes, Hope. I've been flying since 1845.
1845? Colonna, that's ridiculous. Even the Wright brothers weren't flying then.
I know. The weather was terrible.
Well, tell me, Professor, what did you think of the ocean weather coming across?
Oh, it was fine, Hope. But when we first took off, it was so cold, I was a little afraid of the snoo.
Snoo? What snoo?
Oh, nothing much. What snoo with you?
You know, Professor, you're the idiot's choice.
Thanks for the vote.
Professor, in your flying days, I suppose you've had some pretty hair-raising experience.
Yes, Hope. In fact, once I had to crawl out on the wing of an airplane and fix a leaking oil line and put in three new cylinders.
Really? Was the wind blowing pretty hard?
No, the hangar door was closed.
Tell me, Colonna, what makes you such an eerie character?
Well, Hope, it's a sad story. You see, up until I was 4 years old, I was a bottle baby.
Until you were 4 years old, you were a bottle baby? What happened when you were four?
I pushed the cork out and escaped.
Tell me, Professor, as a pilot, what's the top speed you ever attain?
600 miles an hour, but just for a short distance.
Just for a short distance?
He wasn't a husband after all.
Well, where'd you learn to fly, Professor?
At Pensacola, Hope. I was at Pensacola for 8 years, and they couldn't wash me out.
They couldn't wash you out. Why not?
No soap.
Well, Professor, I understand you have a serious thought for our audience.
Yes, Robert, I have. Ladies and gentlemen, for a minute, I'd like to throw aside the mask of the buffoon and become Colonna the social enemy. I've been thinking seriously about the post-war world. I've been thinking about the butchers who never had any meat for me, the hotel clerks who insulted me, and the relatives who moved in with me. And I've come to one conclusion about this post-war world.
What's that, Professor?
It ain't going to be big enough.
Thank you, boy. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, sir. Oh, what a surprise. Isn't that a wonderful thing? What a surprise. You only have 2 hours to work on the script. And now, I think Broma Seltzer has a surprise for me, haven't you, Parks, old man?
Well, Bob, you see, after all, we wasn't quite sure you were going to be here, you know.
Is that true?
Yeah, but I tell you, we have got something for Jerry Colonna.
Jerry Colonna?
Where's Jerry? Come on,
what kind of a deal is this, old man? He's a surprise guest star, and I was all a solid one. How about this? I just thought...
Well, Bob, you understand it.
Get my attorney on the phone with Jerry. Job, something for you.
Jerry? For your young son, 5 years old, Bob Colonna, we got a complete outdoor gymnasium with ring, swing, action bar, and everything.
Oh,
and
you like that? That in about 20 minutes.
And for Florence, she tells us that you're a little bit fat nowadays, about 15 pounds overweight. So we're sending
this morning
out
at 10:30. Was pumped up. Let me cut in there, fellas.
We're sending out to your place this afternoon a ping pong table, paddles, balls, and everything. Maybe your young kid will show you how it's done. Thank you a lot, Bob Hope. Thank you a lot, Jerry Colonna.
Fine.
Thank you, Bart.
Now, one of the people who have made Hollywood the most important fashion center, one of the 12 most famous dress designers in the world, Paramount's Edith Head. Edith, how long have you been in the fashion business?
You don't ask a woman how long she's been working. She wouldn't tell you the truth anyway.
Oh, all right. I beg your pardon. Well, how did you get in the business in the first place?
I used to be a school teacher. I taught Spanish to the mill children, and they used to close the school every time there was a big debt, so I just quit being a school teacher.
Yes, and you came here as a dress designer?
I've been here ever since.
What was your first job?
Dressing an elephant.
Dressing a what?
An elephant.
Do the stars ever call you up and say, what do I wear?
Well, of course they do. Not only the stars, but the male girls, everybody in the lot. You know, women never know what to wear. They say, I'm going to be married. What am I going to wear? I'm going to a funeral. What am I going to wear? And even men ask you that. I'm going to write a book. And when somebody says, what do I wear to get married? I'll say, just look on page 42.
That's good.
Think it's a good idea?
It'll simplify matters a great deal. Say, what are some of the rules for women wearing proper kinds of clothes?
There aren't any rules. You see, the trouble is women worry too much about what they wear. If they just wear something that's comfortable and looks good on, they'd be a lot safer.
They would?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you mean there are no rules at all?
Not any.
You mean that a tall, skinny girl can wear a long stripe?
Of course. If she's tall, she ought to be darn glad she's tall. And if she's short,
I have a tall, skinny brother that's wearing stripes.
Who said
I said it, and I'm glad for Miss Anne.
You?
She's like an orphan. I'm not cutting in at all, I thought.
Do you think that men should go along and help pick out their wives' clothes?
Oh, there ought to be a law against it. No man should be allowed in a store with a woman.
Really? Well, how about women picking out their husband's clothes?
Well, that ought to be a law, too. They ought to be forced to do it. No man should be allowed to dress without his woman picking his clothes.
How do you like that? Well, let's get back to the stars. Who's the easiest to dress?
Well, most of the women stars are very easy, but the men are a lot of trouble.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've had Bob Hope in some costume pictures, haven't you?
Oh, I've had a horrible time, too.
With him?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, our first was in Road to Morocco. We had some beautiful pajamas that looked horrible because he wanted them loose enough to sit down in.
This is how you find your friends, you know.
Say, Park. See, don't pay any attention to it. She just saw it because I had Adrian make my shoulders way out through there. That's all.
Well, it's time up, Raj. Well, we want to thank you very much, Edith. It's been a very illuminating chat. And, of course, it's very nice to have Brother Hope coming in now and then. And now Brother Seltzer has for you to add to your collection an antique Sheffield tea caddy. It'll hold candy, cigarettes, or anything like that. And something you need on your desk in your office, we've heard about. An antique Sheffield inkwell. It has two big bottles of ink. Thank you very much, and good luck to you, Miss Edith Head.
Say, Edith, don't go away. Edith. Edith.
What's that, Bob?
Is Edith there?
Yes, dear.
Yeah, yes, dear, huh? Go on, try and make up. Try, wait till I get there. Edith.
Wait, did you say your next...
What did they give you, honey?
A perfectly beautiful inkwell.
For
my new office.
Cost?
You haven't had a fitting in my new office yet, have you?
Hmm?
I said you haven't been to my new office yet, have you, for
No, but we'll make it, dear. I'm rushing as fast as I can. Say, what does your inkwell cost, honey?
What?
I say, what did your inkwell cost?
Well, we just can't tell, Bob. It's just an antique, that's all.
Antique? Well, turn it over and look at the bottom.
Well, there's nothing stamped on the bottom of an antique, Bob.
There isn't, huh? There's a joke there, but I don't think I'll be able to do it.
How can you make a hit when a lady calls you to go and turn him aside?
Yes, Bart, sad but true. When pretty little Miss M won the title of Miss Peach Blossom, 1945, and a Hollywood screen test, she thought the future was all set. Then along came trouble.
Oh, imagine me all ready for a screen test. But those lights are so bright. I'm so tired. How am I ever going to look alluring with this miserable headache?
Just one answer to that, she couldn't. No use pretending you look your best when a headache has you in its clutches. Especially when jittery nerves and upset stomach add their unwelcome company. That's just the time for Bromo Seltzer, the perfect cue for fast, effective three-way relief. Bromo Seltzer pitches right in, helps relieve headache, upset stomach, and jangled nerves. So don't let headache win the day. Turn to time-tested Bromo Seltzer and feel better, look brighter, fast. Get a bottle of fast-dissolving, fast-relieving Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight. Then...
I did a three-way. Bromo Seltzer.
I don't get it, ladies and gentlemen. If this stuff is that good, they must sell a lot of it, and they're bound to make enough money to get me a little something. After all, I'd like
That's
to
all right, Bob. You just take it easy now. Just stand by.
Yeah,
I'll be right here. You know, folks, not only in this land of tinsel and make-believe, but in everyday life, makeup is very important. And one of the most important names in makeup is Westmore. And here's one of the famous Westmore brothers, known to everyone on the Paramount lot as Wally.
How do you do, Bob?
Then, by the way, I'm just wondering how long since you've been called Wallace.
Well, I've never been called Wallace. Everybody's always called me Wally.
From way back, huh?
From way back.
You are an old-timer around here, I know. You grew up in the business?
Well, I certainly did since I've been in the business since 1920.
Well, you've had a lot of strange jobs, haven't you?
Yes, I've had quite a few. As a matter of fact, I have put eyelashes on a cow. I've made a dog up like a wolf. I've painted a snake. I bleached Jack Benny's bear, and also made up Bob.
I think Crosby's the guy that lets his hair down, don't you?
You say you made up Bob?
Yes, I've made up Bob. I've reconstructed his face several times, but there's no hope.
What'd he say? I didn't hear it.
What'd you say, Wally?
I love you, too.
What did you say?
I didn't say it.
Oh. You know you're my favorite one of the Max Factor brothers.
Well, Wally, we've heard that in the, you know, in hospitals around the country where we've been, that two makeup men here in Hollywood have been a big help to the wounded who need the plastic surgery.
Yes, we have. We've done quite a bit of research work with acrylic resin and rubber in making appliances for different parts of the face, like noses, ears, hands.
So, and, well, how would they use them?
Well, it's to take the place during the work of plastic surgery so that they can go out in public and not be a spectacle.
Oh, I see. Well, that's very important work that you've been doing here. There are a lot of women listening, so just one question. What's your advice about makeup?
Well, the prime requisite of any beauty, as far as women are concerned, is to use a minimum of makeup.
And you in the business?
Yes, sir. We've been in the business a long time. We've been preaching that for years.
Well,
if you use a minimum of makeup and learn how to put it on. Not just grab a powder puff and slap your nose with it and smear your lips with lipstick. Take
like
a little time,
your nose,
like you would with your, having a suit made or a dress and pay a little attention to your face, like you do your body.
Well, thanks, Wally, for the chat and the beauty hints, too. And now we have for you some gifts from the house of Bromo Seltzer.
Well, I'm ready.
First, for Mrs. Westmore, we have a brooch. Yes,
how about something for the tourist?
It's in two shades of 14-karat gold.
I'm standing by. Don't
you
know,
just hold still, Pepto. Now, hold on. And we have an unusual lamp.
Still here.
Made from an antique copper chafing dish with ebony base. I think Mrs. Westmore will like that. Do you?
It'll be out of all the nice things.
Thank you very much, Wally.
I'll have a dog. All right.
Not that I mind doing a benefit, but I'm still here.
Sorry that rascal's suffering so much. I know that many of you recall Paula Nigri, Marguerite Clark, Rudolph Valentino, and a lot of others. Well, they are just three of Paramount stars of an earlier day. Well, here's a Paramounteer who knows all of them and works with them. He's an assistant set light foreman, and he's been with Paramount 26 of his 33 years. Folks from Van Nuys, California, Bob, nicknamed the Pelican, Rogers. Bob, tell me the truth. Have you ever had an idea that you could be a movie star?
Yes, I've done several things in pictures, including doing stunts, turning automobiles over, and that sort of thing.
So you really did do something? You mean doubles or what?
Oh, doubles for Wally Reed in the old days.
Uh-huh. But you got over it?
Oh, yes. I stick to my job now.
You like those lights and generators?
Oh, yes. That's what makes the world go round.
It's a lot tougher with Technicolor now, isn't it, sir?
Yes. We have to use three times the light because they have three times the film in the camera, and two is exposed to a prism.
You two can talk about something I don't know anything about now. But let's get on something I do know something about. I enjoyed being on stage 18 with you out there Friday and watching Bing in Blue Sky. By the way, who was the Bing Crosby of Paramount about 15, 20, or 25 years ago?
Bing Crosby. Wally Reed.
Wait a minute. What's that, Bob? What'd you say, Bob?
Bing Crosby.
Wally Reed was the Bing Crosby of those days.
He didn't sing, did he?
He didn't have to sing. He had everything that Bing has gotten.
Just a good
little
guy,
bit
huh?
More, too.
Oh,
lay
it
in
now,
there, Pelican. Lay it in there.
You're trying to make up with Bob up
Why,
there.
Why, there's the best man that's been on that program, so far.
Well, did you have anybody like Hope in those days?
Oh, nobody
yes,
like Keno.
They certainly did. Rudolph Valentino. Tell him, Pelican.
Take it easy, Keno.
Say, Bob, you know we're in a little bit of a spot about Bob Hope's gifts. Could you suggest anything electrical that might suit him?
Why don't you give him the hot seat?
Oh, well, right now, Bob Rogers,
Bromo
Seltzer's got for you something that Ms. Rogers tipped us off that you like. She says you love fooling around out in the yard with barbecue. So here's a nice portable outdoor barbecue stand on wheels. And something that you tipped us off that Mrs. Rogers would like, it's a lovely service for six in that famous National Sterling Silver. You think she'll like it?
Brother, that's wonderful.
Thank you a lot, Bob Rogers.
Thank you very much.
You set it up in Oblast, Pelican. All in favor of more fun in the sun will please contact Dick Joy.
Yes, Parks, we all know there's nothing like summer weather for real out-of-door fun and relaxation. But when summer weather turns to summer heat, when ordinary headache adds your hot weather discomfort, good times go out the window. So don't sit back while others play. Get Bromo Seltzer. Helps three ways fast. Headache plus upset stomach and jittery nerves that may accompany headache give way to Bromo Seltzer's speedy welcome relief. You can take Bromo Seltzer after it settles or while it's still fizzing. Caution, use only as directed. For persistent or recurring headaches, see your doctor. Bromo Seltzer has been a favorite with four generations for dependable three-way relief. You'll find no faster effective relief today. A product of the Emerson Drug Company, Bromo Seltzer comes in four popular sizes. Keep a bottle handy in your medicine cabinet. Buy a bottle of Bromo Seltzer from your druggist tonight. Safeguard good times. You know, it's been a glorious, glamorous list of stars Paramount has had in its 33 years, but the tradition of Mary Pickford, Gloria Swanson, Claudette Colbert seems to be safe in the hands of this young lady. She's 18 now. For 5.5 years, she's been at Paramount learning the ropes. You saw her in The Major and the Minor, There's Magic in Music, The Miracle of Morgan's Creek, Our Hearts Were Young and Gay, and, of course, Out of This World. Miss Diana Lynn.
What
about
Crosby today?
Crosby is working hard on Blue Skies, Bob.
He's probably down at the stable making glue.
Well, Diana, you came to Paramount as a child actress, didn't you?
Oh, no, made
I
came
to Paramount.
Fortune
since the meat shortage.
Mr. Hope.
Wait till Hope gets back here.
Okay.
Can we start over? Yes, you came to Paramount as a child actress, didn't you?
No, I did not. I came as a child pianist.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And you got a job as a pianist?
Well, yeah, but the whole thing was an accident, really. I didn't know anything about acting. It's sort of a question as to whether I do now or not.
Yeah.
But I didn't particularly then, and I came to accompany a friend of mine who played the violin. And I didn't expect anything to happen, but it did. And I've been there now for quite some time.
Was it Benny?
No.
I thought Hope was going to pull that one. You remember when you first came on the lot? Were you awed by it all?
Oh, terribly. Just terribly. And then for a while, you see, I thought I was going to be a great big motion picture star at the age of 13. But after I sat around there for a couple of years and just didn't do anything, I discovered that it wasn't really as much fun because, well, I'd sort of creep into the commissary and I always imagined I was going to bump into a waitress and drop the dishes and all sorts of things.
Creep out with
a salary.
It was
Well, you know how it happens to movie stars. Have you ever been told that you look like somebody?
Well, as a matter of fact, yeah. Somebody came up to me at a party the other night and said, you know, I don't know whether I should tell you this or not, but you look just exactly like Diana Lynn. Curious.
Well, how about these first nights and so on?
Oh, that was grand. There was a premiere the other night with the bandstand all full of people, you know, and all great things going on and music and everything. So I came out in one of Edith Head's nicest dresses, and Wally Westmore's nicest makeup, and, you know, really felt like the thing. And I was walking by, and these people were saying, who's she? Who's she? You know? So somebody said, oh, she's just one of them dancing girls.
That took you down a peg, didn't it?
Oh, definitely.
Say, who would you like to play opposite over there? What star?
Oh, well, I think Ray Milland or Bing Crosby. That's wonderful.
Well, Diana, how about Hope?
Well, that's just beyond my wildest dreams, Mr. Hall. It really is, because I'd love to work with him. I think Mr. Hope is one of the most superlative actors I've ever seen on the screen, and his radio program is just wonderful, and he's witty, and he's clever, and he's so handsome. And I really am just crazy about Mr. Hope. And if they'd only let me work with him, well, I just do it for nothing, and I wouldn't mind waiting or anything. I hope
He's fainted up there, isn't he? Yeah.
I'm not cutting into that. I love it.
Well,
I can't pick up that kind of a cue, Warren. Say, Diana, you got my wire, huh? But anyway, go ahead for the interview.
Well, time's up now, Diana.
Louder, Diana. Somebody may be listening. Say, I want all 33 Paramounts to hear this.
Yeah. Diana, really, you're a cinch with your ability, personality, and look. That goes for Bob, too. We hope we can box pop
well,
you
I like
on...
both of you.
We want to box pop you on Paramount's 50th anniversary. That goes for you, too, Bob. Now, Robo Seltzer has for you, Diana, a brand new portable record player with amplifier.
What, you got a writer there with you, Warren? What was that you slid in there?
And for you, nasty a portable doghouse with a window and door. It's not really for you, though. It's for that little coal black cocker spaniel just stepping out of it right there. How do you like the looks of him, huh? Thank you. Good luck to you, Diana Lynn.
Folks, now, before we let Bobby in on something that it seems has been bothering him all during the program.
What, you got a Cocker Spaniel there?
Hold it, Bob.
You got a Cocker Spaniel there?
He's got a Cocker Spaniel. I was saying we want to...
If Crosby was there, he'd throw a saddle on it.
Well, right now, we at Vox Pop want to pay Bob a most sincere tribute, and through him, the hundreds of other entertainment people who have amassed a magnificent war record. Vox Pop has done over 230 weeks of broadcast with servicemen beginning a year and a half before Pearl Harbor. And I can tell you that nowhere have we ever been where there were two servicemen or more that they were not talking about Bob Hope. So to a superlative showman and to a very warm and human chap, thanks for being just the kind of a fellow you are, Bob.
Well, thank you, Parks. Thank you very much.
We mean that from our heart.
Well.
And now,
you
Bob,
We've
just been kidding about that Bromo Seltzer gift business. You first.
I'd like to have a little something. I'd
well,
just like
all
to
right.
have taxi fare back to the hotel.
Stand back.
Not
here you go.
I hate to lose money on the whole deal, that's all.
Here we go. First is something which we got at the request of several of your friends who are tired of those 10-cent store cufflinks that you've been wearing. These are a pair of 14-carat solid gold that we think you'll like. Next, on as long as... your 6-year-old Linda has got one, but 5-year-old Tony hasn't. We have for Tony a swell sidewalk bicycle, and here it is right here. And finally, sort of because we know that you were away when both youngsters had birthdays, and we'd like to get in on it, we had built a beautifully decorated, sturdy backyard playhouse. Pull the curtain, boys, and let them look at it. How you like it, folks?
Isn't that nice?
Well, thanks a lot, Bob Hope, for being here.
Thank you. That gets me out of the doghouse, anyway. That's marvelous, really, Parks and Warren. I love the bike for Tony. Now, if I can get the little character of Paper Route, there'll be money coming in. After all, there's no reason why Margaret O'Brien should have all the San Fernando territory. But seriously, Parks, I want to thank you and Vox Pop for myself and for the children. And it was a happy thought that you brought my kids into the picture tonight because, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk a minute about your kids, your boys and girls who grew up from bicycles to bazookas, from portable phonographs to the beach, to plasma tents and unpronounceable beachheads. Your kids, many whose lives had short horizons, and others who lived to fight and win a war. I've been fortunate enough to be with many of them the past few weeks, in England, Scotland, France, Germany. If I learned one thing, it is that our work here at home has just begun. On the lips of the talkative and in the eyes of the quiet GIs, we met the question, so we've won the war, now what? And the answer to that is with us, we can make it tomorrow by not objecting because it still takes 30 points for a pot roast. Still takes 85 points, you know, for a GI to get that westbound boat ride. We can show our thanks and underscore our answer in a few weeks when the victory bond drive starts by buying and keeping more and more bonds. And we can live our answer daily by realizing no war is ever over here as long as one of our kids is over there. They'll be coming home soon, your kids. They're men and women now, believe me, and we must have the only answer to their questions. Now what? We must have the only true and honest answer ready and waiting, a worthwhile place in a worthwhile world. Good night, all.
Good night, Bob Hope, and all you swell Paramount people. It's been a happy, happy evening with you. You've given us a wonderful third of a century of great pictures and great stars. We know the next third of a century will be even more successful.
And it's another anniversary on Vox Pop next week. Parks will be in San Francisco and I'll be in New York. The coast-to-coast terminals of the United Airlines will be celebrating the 25th anniversary of United Airlines coast-to-coast air routes.
It's going to be good. Warren in New York and I in San Francisco and a lot of colorful United Airlines folks on the air with us. So remember Vox Pop next Monday. Good night, folks.
So long, everybody. Good night, kids.
Night, Bob.
Be sure to join Box Pop, the show that travels America, next Monday night, same time, same station, when Parks in San Francisco and Warren in New York bring you colorful United Airlines folks from the terminals of the original transcontinental skyway. But remember, next time an ordinary headache strikes, get three-way relief fast. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.